Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, August the 1st, family members of Islamic State fighters who travelled to Syria and Iraq return to their homeland in Albania. Extreme weather conditions cause heat waves and uncontrollable fires in Turkey, where at least six people have died and thousands are evacuated. And Pope Francis encourages Christians to not put concern for material needs at the centre of their lives. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. A group of women and children who were the families of Albanian nationals who joined so-called Islamic extremist groups fighting in Syria and Iraq have returned to their homeland. Their arrival on Sunday comes amid a debate in several other countries in Europe on what to do with fighters and supporters of groups such as so-called Islamic State. Stefan Boss reports.
After a long wait, five Albanian women and 14 children arrived in Albania from Syria's notorious Al-Hol camp. The women had joined Islamic extremist groups fighting in Syria and Iraq. Flying from Lebanon, they were accompanied by Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama and Interior Minister Bledi Tuti. In a statement, Rama called it a very positive event and pledged that, in his words, "we shall not stop here." He made clear that the 19 women and children will be taken to a shelter in the western port city of Durres. There, police and social experts are making medical and psychological examinations. That is to be followed by a quarantine period, after which some may be allowed to rejoin their families. Prime Minister Rama did not reveal whether the women would be prosecuted for possible war crimes and other atrocities. Sunday's transportation of the women and children was the third effort to repatriate Albanians from the war-torn territories in Syria. In October last year, five Albanians were repatriated, while a child returned to the country a year earlier. Authorities believe a few hundred Albanian men joined the Islamic State and other groups fighting in Syria and Iraq in the early 2010s. Many were killed and their wives and children are stuck in Syrian camps. The situation in Albania is closely followed by other European nations, including the Netherlands, which has also begun repatriating some women and children despite criticism from several legislatures. One of the Dutch women held by Kurdish forces in Syria, Islamic State bride Hawidi, was in tears when speaking in her tent recently about her hopes for a better future.
I hope one day they will make the decision to take the responsibility, the countries to take us back. And I hope then that the children they go to a better place with a better life.
But repatriating her and others remains controversial, with critical European legislatures fearing they could undermine security in Europe, where punishments may be more lenient than in the Middle East. However, several European governments oppose trials in the Middle East, as especially former Islamic State group supporters, including women, may face the death penalty there. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And in southwestern Turkey today, tourists were evacuated when raging wildfires were threatening hotels and homes. Turkish Coast Guard vessels, assisted by private boats and yachts, are reportedly being deployed to bring holidaymakers to safety. In the city of Bodrum, three hotels were evacuated. The fires, which have been burning since Wednesday, have left at least six people dead. And climate change and its effects are amongst the critical issues of our time. Not only do extreme weather events harm animals and their habitat, they wreak havoc on the livelihoods of people and communities, with a special impact on vulnerable and indigenous communities. The call for urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts is the 13th of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals that make up a universal plan of action to end poverty, protect the planet and ensure that all people enjoy peace and prosperity. A just-ended forum called SDG Zone at Tokyo promoted by the UN and Japan's Asahi company, features activists of climate action and sustainability engaged in different fields. Among them was Archana Sareng, an indigenous environmental activist from eastern India's Odisha state. 25-year-old Archana, a Catholic, was chosen last year to be part of the UN Secretary-General's 7-member Youth Advisory Group on Climate Change.
In terms of my journey, it was my grandfather who has been pioneer of community-led forest protection practices. And it is through my grandfather, my family, which I got to understand how our relationship with nature is. And while I got education, I realized that, you know, all the things which my communities have been practicing, it's there in the textbook. But the sad part is, in the textbook, the indigenous communities are not given the due credit. And it's not the indigenous communities who are writing about it. And that is why, you know, being the voice of indigenous communities and being part of UN Secretary General's Youth Advisory Group is a huge responsibility to put forward the voices of indigenous people, not only from India, but across the globe. And that is where I see my role as in to voice for the indigenous communities, to share our concerns of the indigenous communities to Secretary General himself and the policy makers, and also to bring to the table the solutions which indigenous communities have been practicing. So I see that, you know, our voices are being heard, not only indigenous communities' voices, but also the voices of youth are being heard by the global policy level in terms of climate action. And that is where I see, you know, how it is adding on and what is our roles and responsibility. Definitely more has to be done. Listening and acknowledgement is just one part or just the beginning. And I take this opportunity also to highlight that, you know, indigenous communities need safe and enabling spaces. It is very, very important to protect the human rights of indigenous communities. And as we say, and as we have been saying, protect the defenders of climate action and biodiversity.
And that was Archana Sareng, an indigenous climate change and environmental activist from India. Meanwhile, the urgent need to care for the environment, in particular the ocean, was one of the top priorities at the just-concluded Caritas Oceania Annual Forum. The highly diverse members of the Caritas Oceania family are from the larger and smaller islands of the Pacific Ocean. As Caritas Oceania President Cardinal Mafi of Tonga told me, the forum this year was inspired by Pope Francis's encyclical Fratelli Tutti and took place in the name of fraternity.
Despite of our being divided in the midst of the ocean, and that's one of the challenges we have, is we are all split into various places by the ocean. So we have to really find ways how to tackle and handle these priorities. So our theme this year's forum is fraternal cooperation in our Caritas Oceania family. So it's a special time for us to come with our differences, as I said, to form solidarity and build up on the spirit of Fratelli Tutti.
I'm thinking of Fratelli Tutti that has reached all the way from Rome to your islands, which for us are so, so far away on the other side of the world.
Oh, yes. Quite inspiring to hear everybody talk about Fratelli Tutti and the power of this encyclical. But one of our obstacles is we need to translate it from English to our local vernacular, and that's a challenge, as some of the local dioceses, they have good translators to translate it so that the common people, you know, the lay people, could have access to that.
Yeah. Of course, how many local languages are there?
Well, especially in the Melanesians group, they have dialects, different dialects, more than 20 in some places. But they have one basic they call Pidgin English. It's a mixture of English and some local thing. But Australia and New Zealand, of course, they speak mostly English. But the other countries like New Caledonia, Tonga, they have their own language. So in terms of Fratelli Tutti and other papal encyclicals, it needs to have a good translator to translate it into the local languages.
And finally, Pope Francis on Sunday greeted the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for the midday Angelus prayer. In his reflections before leading the recitation of the prayer, he called on us all to not let our concern for material needs be the only driver in our lives, but instead to endeavour to seek and deepen our relationship with God. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, buongiorno.
Greeting the faithful in St. Peter's Square on a sunny and sultry Roman Sunday, Pope Francis offered reflections on the day's gospel reading, which speaks about the crowds following Jesus after they'd witnessed the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. However, the crowds did not grasp the meaning of what Jesus had done and appeared to be more concerned about having their fill of material bread.
Abbiamo bisogno di discernere questo. Perché tra le tante tentazioni,
the Pope said we too risk from this same narrow mentality what might be called an idolatrous temptation, he described, as one where we seek God only for our own use and needs of the moment. This requires us to ask, why do we seek the Lord, he said, and to think about what are our true motivations, and to consider if our faith concerns seeking God primarily when we need him, and forgetting about him when we're satisfied. The Pope said it's right to present our needs before God, but we need to understand that the Lord, first of all, wishes to live with us in a relationship of love, and to know that in response to our prayers, he acts far beyond our expectations. True love is all gift, not expecting a favor in return, the Pope observed, and the relationship with God goes beyond the logic of interest and calculation.
Che cosa dobbiamo fare per compiere le opere di Dio?
In today's gospel reading, the crowds then ask Jesus what they can do to accomplish the works of God. The Pope said it was as if they were asking how we can go from a faith that is only concerned about our immediate needs to one that pleases God. Jesus' answer, the Pope said, is that the work of God is to welcome the one whom the Father has sent, that is, himself, Jesus. The key here is welcoming Jesus into our lives, living a story of love with him. The Pope pointed out, saying only Jesus can purify our faith and strengthen our loving relationship with him. He summed it up, before the things we receive and do, there is him to love.
Questo vale nei riguardi di Dio, ma anche vale nelle nostre relazioni umane e sociali.
This same thinking applies also to our human and social relationships, the Pope added, saying we need to be aware when we risk using others for our own interests. In society, we need to keep people at the center of our concern rather than simply interests, he stressed. In conclusion, before leading the recitation of the Angelus, he said, let us welcome Jesus as the bread of life and, starting out from our friendship with him, learn to love each other freely and abundantly, looking to the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who lived the most beautiful story of love with God, he said, and can help us receive this grace.
Sit nomen Domini benedictum.
Ex nunque tusque in saeculum.
Aiuterium nostrum in nomine Domini.
Qui feci celum et terram.
Benedicat vos, omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks there to Thaddeus Jones for that report. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. And thank you to Vincenzo Proto in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.